Welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a SportsEthos.com presentation. You can follow us on Twitter at Ethos Pelicans and at Lyle Swithenbank is me, which is LyleSwithenbank. Plenty to unpack today. I tell you what, we last spoke earlier on in the week, and then we had a cheeky back-to-back against the Denver Nuggets and also the Minnesota Timberwolves. So we're going to get to that. But I suppose hot off the press, we're going to talk about, I guess, the news of the day, which, I mean, there's plenty to talk about, and we'll get to that. Hot off the press is Zion Williamson named to the All-Star starting five for the Western Conference for the 2023 All-Star Game in Utah. He managed to sneak ahead of Anthony Davis to join a team of LeBron James, who will be captain of the West, Nikola Jokic, Zion, Steph, and Luka Doncic. Of course, the conversation is going to rage around, you know, who else should have been in there. But of course, there's the three front court players, the two back court players is how they distinguish who falls into what category. And so guys like Ja Morant, SGA, Lillard, they all missed out. Davis, Lauri Markkanen, Sabonis also missed out. And I suppose Sabonis was that guy that was on the fringes, played really well this year, but for the Kings and just missed out. I guess when you've got players that are popular like LeBron James and Steph, they're going to always force their way in and take those spots over guys that are from the smaller markets. And it really is difficult when you don't have the, the market backing to get you in there, and the league-wide recognition that perhaps the teams that are always on the national stage get. Now, the controversy, and I'm going to put that in quotation marks, as I like to do on this show, is that Zion jumped over Anthony Davis for that final forward spot. And I don't know why it's controversial. We know Anthony Davis and what he can do, and for three quarters of the season that he played, where he wasn't injured, he was pretty average. He then went on a bit of a heater and played really well for about 2 weeks. And then he was injured. Then now he's come back and then he rolled his ankle again. So I don't know if he's back again. But injuries are the great equalizer. And I mean, Zion, again, has missed a number of games with that hamstring injury. Otherwise, he's been pretty much healthy. He had the little scary fall at the start of the season. But otherwise, is averaging 26 points on over 60% shooting. So, and he's 17-12 when he's played. So, all of a sudden, you're looking at a team that's fourth in the West. We've got to remember, there's always that little thing, oh, if you don't win, you don't get to be All-Star. Well, that's happened. He's the best player on our team. And he's been historically great once again. So, I don't think the Lakers, who are sitting 13th, deserve two All-Stars, so even if there's that. But we're actually going to unpack the voting, because we've got that as well. So, LeBron, basically, let me backpedal. It's broken up into three categories, which are all weighted, which gives you a final weighted score. So you've got the player rank, which is all the other players voting for who they think should be All-Stars. So I guess a vote from your peers. The fan rank, which is the thing that we do on the NBA app, and I think should be the lowest weighted anyway. And the media rank, which is all of the different media personnel who get a vote despite how many games they watch or what teams they follow or anything like that. There's a number of them that all get a vote and they get to put that in. So that then gives you a weighted score. Now, LeBron finished second in player rank. He finished first in fan rank and second in media rank. That gave him a weighted score of 1.5. Jokic had a player rank of 1, so everyone else thought he was the best. He had a fan rank of 2, so the fans thought he was second best, and the media thought he was the best as well. He was number 1. Weighted score of 1.5. Now, Zion, who finished 3rd, was player rank 3rd, so everyone in the league that he plays against voted him 3rd best. Fan rank, 4th. So he's dropped a little bit, but remember, we're in a small market, so it's always going to be more difficult to get those votes purely from New Orleans. You've got to get them from everywhere. and the media rank was fourth. So he was ranked the fourth best player by the media, who watch as many games as they can, and he was weighted rank of 3.75. Now, Anthony Davis got a fan rank of 3, big market. The Lakers managed to get, or almost get, sneaky guys in every year with their fan vote. Had him at 3, which, you know, all power to him. The media ranked him 6th. So Sabonis was actually ranked 3rd by the media, but AD was ranked 6th. So that's that. And then the player rank, which I think is the one that counts the most because the guys play against him, ranked him 7th. So he was ranked as the 7th best front court player in the West. So he wasn't higher than Zion. He wasn't higher than Lauri Markkanen. He wasn't higher than Sabonis. And he wasn't higher than Paul George. So he fell behind all of those guys. And that gave him a weighted score of 4.75. So we can make all these comments and the like. But I think the one that matters most is that his own players that go against him don't rate him as highly as perhaps some loud voices say in the media. And again, all power to you. But that's how it stands, and the fourth best team in the Western Conference gets an All-Star. So congratulations to the Pelicans. Congratulations to Zion Williamson. His second majority, well, I suppose mainly healthy season, is a second-time All-Star. So it's pretty awesome to think that the impact that he's having on games and on this team when he's on the court, he's historical. And we knew this, but of course, when he's sitting on the sideline, it makes it difficult to swallow. And the argument between injuries, AD and Zion, if that was going to be the great equalizer, should rule them both out, really, and put Sabonis there. But again, we look at the ways it's broken up and who's in control of what votes. And I think they got it right. I think based on this, they got it right. So I'm not going to go and argue about everything. I'm not going to get into scraps or anything about it. This is what it is. You get to watch Zion on the 19th of February in Utah. Hamstring should be right by then. Get reassessed on the 9th of February. Even if it's a week after that, well, I'm sure even if he plays limited minutes, he's going to be he'll be out there, and that's going to be really awesome. So that sort of segues into the second piece of news, is that Zion's scans came back on his knee, on his hamstring, pardon me, not his knee, gosh, don't put that evil on anyone. On his hamstring, it's trending in the right direction. We talked about this when he did it. Hamstring strains are nothing to be trifled with, nothing at all. Hamstrings are a minimum 4 weeks. Doesn't matter what you do. It's a 4 to 6 week injury, and the very best, most responsive hamstring that you'd ever get back from is 4 weeks. I've done at least 2 a year since I was about 18, which are just amazing. The worst, most annoying, fiddly little injuries that you've got in your hamstrings, doesn't matter how bad it is, it's minimum of 4 weeks. If it's a little bit worse than completely just tightness, and it's a proper strain, grade 1, grade 2, you're looking at 6 weeks. 5 to 6. So they're reviewing him after 5. He's probably got another week of conditioning, the light, to make sure that hamstring's rock solid, and then you bring him back. Because what you don't want to do is rush him back and then have him sit out when it actually matters down the end. You know, this, I think, All-Star break is going to be a fantastic reset for this team to just get healthy, get a bit of camaraderie back, get everyone just back in their proper roles, and barring any setbacks, we should be healthy. Oh, I feel scared saying it, but I think the way we're trending, everyone seems to be on the right page. If we can just keep the team together, bank a few more wins heading into the All-Star break, and then finish off strong with this big push to April. That's got to be the goal, and it's got to be together. At the moment, we've seen 10 games with the big three. We talked about this way back in the start of the season when we were discussing it, is injuries are going to be the thing that equalizes this team. There's not many teams that can compete with the talent that we have if we're healthy. And it's always going to be the asterisk. So let's get healthy and finish this season strong. Really fight for that higher playoff seeding and make sure you lock in home court. You want to be as high up the standings as possible and really get the opportunity to, you know, have home court as long as you can throughout the playoffs. So, all in all, that's all positive, all positive. The other bit of news is that Brandon Ingram returned. The last game he played was in the 25th of November, where he kicked the back of someone's foot and busted his toe. His great toe is what they were calling it. It wasn't so great, but he injured that. It then took a month, and then they had a setback, and he was out for pretty much 2 months, which so tough when one of your best players, or your second best, or 1B, I suppose he is, to Zion's 1A, is injured. And all of a sudden, the roles shift and someone has to fill that void. Trey Murphy did it very well for a while. Najee Marshall as well, before he got injured. And obviously, CJ stepping up towards the middle of January. And Jonas has been rock solid as well, particularly with that expanded role with all of the injuries. So he returned against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously rusty. He shot 4 of 18, which was not what he wanted. You know, he was on a minutes restriction. You've got to get your shots up quick. You've got to be able to get into your spots. But what we saw were those trademarked turnaround Jays, baseline fadeaways. We saw him attacking the rim. He seemed to have that explosiveness. But he also said, I'm still sore. I'm still aching. My foot is still healing, but it's now at a manageable level. So that's what you want to hear. You want to see him get as healthy as possible, but also be able to play through some things that, you know, normally you would. He's had enough time to heal. I think the noise was getting borderline ridiculous at the end around the fans and stuff getting into him, but he's back now. And whether that means that he has to have a couple of games off here or there just to manage it, well, so be it. But if he's there in the major ones, that's what we like to see. And as we get healthy, perhaps the All-Star break will be a perfect opportunity for him to just rest up, get that foot completely right, and then we really fire in the back end of the season. So, all in all, fantastic. We'll preview, I know I talked about the Minnesota game briefly. We may as well finish off with that, and we'll go in reverse, and we'll finish off with the Denver game, because this Minnesota game was a bit frustrating. We ended up losing 111-102, purely from the third quarter. We slapped them in the first quarter, came out, we were playing great basketball, it was moving, everyone was looking great, and we took care of the basketball, which we know, you've got to keep turnovers low to win basketball games, you really do. 34-26 in that one in the first quarter. Second quarter, they start fighting back, and our offense starts falling away. We were so three-point heavy, and as a team that doesn't shoot many threes, we were launching it. Didn't matter what position we were in or who it was, they were giving us a three-point attempt. And perhaps that was one of Minnesota's game plans, is give you those opportunities to shoot those threes. And if they're not falling, man, it makes it hard to score. So we end up scoring 18 points in that second quarter, which is not ideal at all. And they chip into the lead. Just knock 2 points off, 20-18 in that quarter in favor of the Wolves. But the third quarter, the wheels sort of fell off. Turnover after turnover after turnover. We had 6 in the first half, 7 in the third quarter. And when that happens, you're just giving them position, more possessions. You can't have that. There's got to be a real concerted effort coming out of the locker room to do more of the same, take care of the ball. Play fast, but don't rush. That's been the mantra for the last couple of years with this Willie Green offense. Move the ball, play with pace, but you don't need to speed it up to the point where you're making silly mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, don't compound it by turning the ball over again. And that was something that was so frustrating at times, because the turnovers came in waves. You turn the ball over once, they go down and score. You come back up and you turn it over again. And it wasn't like it was just the young guys. It was CJ. It was different veterans as well making silly errors because we were trying to play at a speed that wasn't what we were comfortable with. When you'd rush, you make silly decisions. And the length of the Timberwolves at times bothered us. That McDaniels was fantastic until he fouled out very late in the game where we nearly snuck back. But at the end of the day, you got to win these games, because especially in the Western Conference. I know it's the second night of a back-to-back. You lose Dyson Daniels. He rolled his ankle into oblivion against Denver, and you know, his full weight of his body went through it. It turned at a right angle, and I don't recommend going and watching it, because when I watched it and then watched it again, now I can't stop visualizing it. So that was pretty woeful, but hopefully it's not as bad as it looks. Haven't heard any official diagnosis yet, but I assume he's out for a little while. So that happened in the third quarter. You're already down men, and you continue to just make silly mistakes. The ref then misses a couple of calls. Well, reffing, of course, when we lose is woeful. But Willie Green then loses the plot. He goes off. They get five free throws in a row. Willie Green gets himself ejected, first career ejection, and doesn't swear. He goes absolutely ballistic, but doesn't swear. The worst word that I could see that he mouthed out was crap, and no doubt he probably felt bad about saying that as well. And all power to him. If you can lose your cool and not drop a few different barbed words towards a ref or to someone else that's angered you, you know, that's a lot of self-control, and I respect that. Now, I, for one, wouldn't have been able to do that, and, you know, he's a better man than I, let's say that. Quarter four, 26-29, we started charging back but fell short, and it was a little bit too late. You can't come in and expect to win games in the last 5 minutes. You can't wait for your coach to get ejected to actually get that fire in your belly. And Jose, great last quarter. Fantastic last quarter. He ended up with a great game. 7 points, and I think most of, well, if not all of them, came in the last quarter, and there were some big plays down the stretch to really get the guys going. And then we went away from it. Once again, we stopped doing what was working because we deferred to others. And what happened there was, if you don't ride the hot hand, you lose that momentum. Jose got the crowd back into it, and all of a sudden, he didn't touch a ball again. As soon as some of the starters checked back in, and it is momentum busters. Let Jose be Jose. Let Najee be Najee. He was so important to us, cutting through the defense. And we go away from it. It's frustrating. You know, CJ McCollum, 9 of 17, 5 of 9 from 3, objectively a good game, and he got some delicious open looks with Brandon Ingram. And that Brandon Ingram effect is what is going to see us further into the playoffs. Going to see us win games down the stretch because of the gravity. And that's something I want to touch on now, is that CJ got some delicious open looks, feet set, jump shots. Splashes them. It's awesome. That's what you want to see. You want to see this guy use his skill set. Instead of having to force shots or try to be a hero, he in fact started launching threes when his feet were set. And what did he do? Splashed him because there was no one around. When you guys come back healthy, everyone gets to eat because everyone goes back into their role that they're meant to be playing. That's what I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see Najee get to play his minutes off the bench. I'm excited to see Trey play along Zion Williamson. I'm excited to see Jose run that second unit, Dyson defend down there, Herb not have to be leaned on as an offensive threat. All of these are good things, and they will take time. But we just got to get healthy, and hopefully that will happen. So, all in all, not a fantastic game at all. Brandon finished his 25 minutes, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Yeah, as I said, inefficient shooting. But first game back from 2 months, it's not an easy thing to do. So, it'll take a bit of time. I don't buy into this, oh, he should be right straight away, because he's not. He's already said he's still sore. He's come back because he realizes that the team is floundering. We've lost a few games in a row now, and it is time to right the ship. So, we're going to go to a break. We'll come back. We'll review Denver. We'll preview the next game, and then we shall get out of here. So, I'll be back after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank, here on a lovely Friday. We took on the Denver Nuggets 2 games ago now, the first night of a back-to-back, and honestly, it was a tale of two halves. I think we've seen the headlines floating around. We managed to lose by 1 point on a play that, honestly, was just the wrong call. We went to CJ, who shot a three when you're down by one, instead of giving the ball directly to Billy Hernangómez, who could have laid the ball in with no one around. And, you know, you live and you learn. Herb Jones was the inbounder. He's gonna learn from that, but at the same time, the plays for CJ, you do what you're told. A player that played really well was Billy Hernangómez. He's always played well against Jokic, but he was great. He came in and really took over those backup center minutes that followed through for the Timberwolves game as well. And he was great. He defended the living daylights out of it. While Jokic still got a triple-double, he had to work for it. It wasn't easy. I mean, Jokic had 6 triple-doubles in a row, so it wasn't any surprise. But I thought he was great. He gave us 12 points off the bench, 6 rebounds in 23 minutes. Had a steal, 2 assists, 5 of 7 shooting. It's what you ask from a guy. And when you've got all these rumors swirling around a guy, seeing there was interest in Billy from both Boston and Miami, you need to give this guy opportunity to show that he is worth what people are going to want to pay for him. They say, well, why isn't he playing? And you say, well, he's a great guy. He doesn't fit in the game plan, etc., or whatever you want to make the excuses. Then when he does come on, he plays like that and he earns himself some more minutes. So while we probably won't see much more of him come All-Star trade deadline, which I think is February 9th as well, because we're probably going to make a trade. I feel like we will because Billy wants that opportunity and, you know, fair enough. He's done enough for the team to allow that and be able to reward him by getting him that opportunity. He's been solid, and I appreciate what Billy brings to this team. So, back to the game. In this one, it was the second quarter again. It was an arm wrestle right up until about the last 2 minutes of the second quarter, where one of our players, and I mean, you can read into it what you want, decided to turn the ball over 3 times in a row, and perhaps that's from positioning and bringing the ball across and then mucking around with it in his hands too much. But he managed to turn the ball over a fair bit and it blew right out, which then gave us a big hole to fight back into. Third quarter, 27 points to 20. We start digging back into that hole. Quarter four, 24 to 16. But alas, you fall short on the last play. And that's one that goes wanting. The top team in the West, you have the opportunity to beat them. Really sort of kickstart your offense again, kickstart your confidence that you can hang with anyone, and instead you lose to them, you follow up by losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And now you put yourself in a position where you actually have to win games that perhaps you weren't going to with the personnel that you've got, just to stay in touch. The West is so close now. There's actually 3 games between us at 4th and the Lakers at 13th. That's how close it is. You lose 3-4 games and they win a couple, the landscape changes very quickly. Memphis and Nuggets are already up over the 30 win mark. They're sailing, whereas we sit around halfway through the 20s. It's a quick fall very quickly between here and the play-in. It's only 2 games between here and the play-in. So you've got to start banking wins. And I know that the players feel that. They've got to have that urgency and they feel that. But you've got to be self-starters. You have to be making sure that you are starting games fast and you're taking care of the basketball. You can't have lulls because teams will jump on you. Every team in this NBA is solid. Anyone can beat anyone on any night. Look at the Orlando Magic. They've beaten the Celtics 3 times this year. They beat us. You know, even the bad teams are going to test you. And the bad teams are the ones trying to tank, but they'll still push you. You got to win these games to make sure that you protect, and you got to protect home court. You can't be letting guys come in and beat you on your home floor. It's harder on the road. I get that. We've had some very long road trips. We've had a lot of back-to-backs and 5 games in 7 nights or something, which is ridiculous, but that's the NBA. We play 82 games. You've got to push through. It's hard when you've got guys out, absolutely, but as guys come back, when they assimilate back into the lineup and we get the roles right, we're going to be okay. So, I think I'm going to leave it at that. I'll be back chatting to you after the next game, which is in a couple of days coming up, and we take on the, drum roll please, Wizards. We've got to beat them. That is a Saturday night game. And we really need to make sure. Well, it's the first night of a back-to-back. We get another back-to-back against the Bucks after that. So, lots of basketball to talk about. We then have the Nuggets, which is a national game. It's a late one for everyone in New Orleans. So, make sure you have a couple of coffees. You guys will need them. I'll need them when I wake up as well. But, you know, there's a few big games ahead, and we need to win. You got to beat the Wizards, and you got to push the Bucks as hard as you can. And then hopefully we can get on the right side of the Nuggets. We're 26-23. You have to keep winning games because the teams behind you are chomping at your heels, and you got to make sure you're locking them in. So before I go, I was playing on Photoshop and made that little photo on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, I decided that it was pretty cool, so I might put it on a T-shirt and on a mug. So if you want one of those, you can go on my Twitter and there's a link there, and you can buy one of them if you want. It's up to you if you want, but I just thought it was cool. I'm going to get myself one. So anyway, we'll leave it at that. This has been the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, at Ethos Pelicans. Stay safe, and of course, bye for now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.